This morning, I'd like us to turn in our Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 is where we're going to start here this morning. I'm going to have a little bit of a different introduction this go around, because I want us to get a bit of a frame of mind about what the Lord is saying to us from His book this morning. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul is giving an account of what took place over in Acts chapter 9. And specifically, there's a certain section where once the Jews found out who he was and what he was preaching, they weren't so happy about that, and they decided that they needed to remove him from being basically somebody that was proclaiming Jesus Christ. They wanted to make sure he wasn't there speaking about those things. And we find in verse 31 of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and it says, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king, kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much again for this morning. I thank you so much for what you have done in our hearts already with the Sunday school hour. I pray, Lord, that our hearts would continually be right now humble, ready to receive your instruction. I thank you again, Lord, for just teaching us, guiding us, and giving us a very clear direction in this life, and Lord, specifically regarding our thought processes. I thank you again, Lord, for all that you have blessed us with, above all the salvation that we have through you, the forgiveness of sins, your word to teach, your Holy Spirit to guide, and Lord, these believers to come around, encourage, exhort, and comfort. I thank you so much, Lord, for all these blessings, and I pray, Lord, that this time would be a blessing to you as we endeavor to learn of you and about you. And these things I ask in your Son's precious and most holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen. We find in verse 32 there something going on specifically about this governor that was not so happy about Paul being there and decided that he was going to arrest Paul. Now, I want us to think about this morning, and I'm going to kind of lead you into a certain direction of thought for a purpose and for a reason. And I want us to think about this way, because when we read or hear certain words, whether it's in Scripture or in conversation, we often will kind of invoke our own image or thought based upon our understanding and the previous use of that word in our life. I'll give you an example. I want everyone to think just for a moment about the word aircraft. Now, most of us probably have an idea of what an aircraft is, and most of us probably thought of some sort of jet or airliner or airplane. Amen? But for the most part. Probably few of us thought about a helicopter. Probably fewer of us thought about Zeppelin brand blimps or, you know, dirigibles or something of that nature, or gliders. And you're like, oh, okay, yeah, I guess we can kind of include those in there. I mean, sort of. And we often have an idea about what a word means based off of our experience. Most of us probably haven't been in a helicopter. Probably few of us have been in a blimp. Anybody been in a blimp? Okay, great. I rest my case. Because it probably wasn't the first thing that came to your mind. But what we think about in when we approach the Word of God is often we will impose certain things based off of what our experiences are. Paul had an experience, amen? When you're running for your life, and then somebody puts you in this rickety wicker basket, ties a rope around it, and you look out and you go, what? And they're like, we're going to let you down. I don't care if it was even like this high. I'm not getting in that basket, brother. I got to try to find another way. You know, I've done rappelling. I can, you know, use the rope. I know how to do that. It's not something I necessarily would want to do in fear of my life, but I guess if I had to, I would. But, you know, when we think about that for a moment, there's a word there that Paul used to describe what the governor wanted to do. And that was apprehend. He wanted to apprehend him. He wanted to apprehend him. And when we think about that for a moment, we have an idea of what that thinks of, what that word means. I mean, in today's, you know, dare I say, charged environment that we have, when we start talking about apprehend or arrest, I'm pretty sure that we have certain images in our mind. I'm pretty sure with everything that we've got going on right now, we've got some images that may have played on the news or we've seen on the internet or whatever it may be. But I will tell you this, that we have seen individuals get apprehended. We have seen individuals that try to run from law enforcement get apprehended. We've seen individuals that have done things illegal and they get apprehended. They get arrested. And they will talk about that. And the law enforcement agencies will say, well, we have apprehended the suspect. What does that mean? It means they're in full control of that person. They've got him or her. They've got them in a way that they are secure, kind of, if you will, protecting, hopefully, us from harm. But again, they have those individuals in custody. In custody. Turn over to the book of Philippians. This is going to be our main passage this morning. And I just wanted to use that verse that's over there in 2 Corinthians to get us to kind of understand that word apprehend has some pretty serious implications. It has some serious implications. Now, when we think about this passage we're going to read in a moment, this isn't a situation where things are being arrested, where things are, you know, the Lord isn't taking us and cuffing us and stuffing us into the back of a cop car and then putting us into a jail cell. That's not what he's doing here. But there is a context that we need to begin to think about and understand when we think about that word apprehend. And in Philippians chapter 3, and I want to pick up here, we're not going to have time to read the whole chapter, but it kind of gets to this point. There's a little bit of this pinnacle part. And in chapter 3, it says in verse 12, not as though I had already attained. He knows this. He knows this where he says, either we're already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. So here we have a passage where Paul uses that word apprehend to talk about the relationship he has with Jesus Christ. And here he is trying to show us something about ourselves. He's trying to show the church at Corinth, or excuse me, at Philippi here, something about them to truly get a good understanding. Because when we think about that word apprehend as a definition, it means to take or seize, as we saw in the other use where he used it, to take as in an arrest. But it also means to take with understanding, kind of, which is what he's talking about here. And that is to kind of conceive in our mind. We can apprehend something that's there, to grasp with the senses of our mind. And again, kind of like what we were talking about with the word aircraft, you apprehended a certain image. That's what your mind conjured up. That's what your mind put there about whatever that aircraft was. But one thing that we find here also about the word apprehend is it does mean to fully possess. Now, when we think about that for a moment, this is exactly what Paul is talking to us about. You know, in this Christian life, we've got a whole list of things to guide us and direct us. And the Lord uses all sorts of different modes of communication to us, different illustrations. And some resonate better with others. I mean, you go through and you find that the Lord talks a lot about husbandry and agriculture. I'm not a big husbandman or agriculturist. I don't grow gardens. I don't do those type of things. Some of us do. Some of us have a better understanding about that. This morning, we were talking about the name of Jesus Christ as advocate, talking about the legal sense, because again, when we look at the Word of God, we can see that it is not only a guidebook for how to grow something, but it is also a legal document. Now, that I can relate to. That I can relate to. And when I think about that term apprehend, I obviously think about it in a legal sense. Somebody has been apprehended, and they're now going to go stand trial. They're now going to stand, and they're going to be arraigned, all the stuff that's going to happen, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I can think about it in that sense. And to a degree, this is where Paul is talking about this, and he's talking about it in a bit of a legal sense, because what he wants to communicate is, at some point in time, we have got to get to this understanding in this illustration that we are apprehended by God. He's got us. He's got us. Now, there's another comforting sermon, if you will, in that regards, but what I want us to find here is that that thought process is supposed to be prevalent in our life to bring us to an understanding of what we do with the new life that's been given to us. This is what he's trying to tell the Philippians. He's trying to instruct them and say, look, here, this is what I want you to do. I want you to think about what is going on here. I want you to think about that new creature in Christ. I want you to think about who you are in Christ. And I want you to understand what you need to be striving towards. And by the way, here is how you're going to do it. Here is how you're going to do it. You know, a lot of times sermons are just given and they present a principle and then there's no follow-up behind it. You know, good Bible teaching has the follow-up of the how-tos. We need to know how to possess our vessel. We need to know how to live this life for Jesus Christ. We need to know how to please Him. We need to know how to do something. If somebody just tells you to go do something without giving you the how, you're kind of having to figure it out on your own. A lot of trial and error, right? You ever try doing self-learning? It gets a little challenging sometimes, amen? It can be a bit of a task. Sometimes if it's something we really want to know, we really invest our thought processes and efforts into that. But what we find here is that as Paul is talking about how to do this, he uses this term apprehend to communicate some things. If we go back there to verse 12, where he says, not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect. We need to understand this. He's saying, look, I'm not the perfect person here. You know, you go over to Romans chapter 7 and you find Paul still struggles with sin. You go over to 2 Corinthians 12 and you see that he still struggles with his thought processes, which is why he does communicate to us that we need to bring some things into captivity. Oh, interesting. Apprehension and captivity go hand in hand, amen? We'll get to that verse in just a moment, but bear with me. When we think about this for a moment, we begin to realize that Paul is saying, look, I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. Look, are any of us there yet? Have any of us made some sort of colossal error in the past 24 hours or more? Some of us are like, well, maybe not colossal. What do we try to do? We try to proclaim our own goodness, amen? We try to minimize it. You know, it's not as bad as it looks. But have we done stuff in our life after we were saved that God was disapproving of? If anybody here thinks in their own mind of like, well, no, I really haven't. I'll refrain from name calling. But look, we've all done that. Paul, who a lot of people look up to, who Paul would say, don't look at me, look at Christ. The idea and the concept is he's saying, look, you know what? Hey, look, I haven't made it there. I haven't attained perfection. I'm not at that point. Now, he does say, be ye perfect. He does say, tell us, be ye holy. And we go kind of go, ah. And sometimes people just go, well, I'm never going to do that, so I guess I'm not even going to try. That's the wrong thought process, okay? You try. But there's a way to do that. There's a way to start moving towards that. There's a way to get that thought process the right way fixed in our mind, okay? And he talks about this here, but he makes it clear. He says, look, you know, he hasn't attained perfection. He hasn't attained what we call perfection. Now, I understand how the Lord looks at us, amen? When he looks at us, he does not see sin in our lives. He sees the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, and amen. So I am so thankful for that, and I'm so thankful for his advocacy, as we talked about this morning in Sunday school, defending us and pleading for us against the accuser. I'm so thankful for that. But I will tell you this, you know, how God looks at us and how we look at ourselves is often very different. And what Paul is saying here in this passage, he says, I want you to look at something. Look, I haven't made it there yet. I don't think you guys are there yet either. Now, obviously, he really liked the church at Philippi because they had some good concepts and some good ideas about what's going on. Amen? They kind of had some things secure. They were doing good, all right? I saw something, you know, talking about, you know, how these churches were being written to by Paul, and it had one where it was talking about the church at Corinth, and this guy's looking at the letter, and then this hand comes out of the letter and starts slapping him. It was a little cartoon thing. I started slapping them around. I chuckled and laughed. And I go, well, yeah, there you go. Some of us need that, amen? The Church of Corinth obviously needed that. They needed a little bit of a harsher correction than some others. You know, you go over to some of the things, you know, like with Galatia. And there was a response that was there. And then, you know, they got this guy. He opens up the letter to Philippi. And he goes, oh, you know, we kind of like, because you can sense that he's got this real care for those that are in Philippi. He doesn't use the same language that he's using over there at Corinth, amen? But that being said, he's pointing out to him, he's like, look, you guys don't have it all down either. I don't have it all down either. He's telling them that, and I will gladly say, I, Ken Stewart, does not have it all down either. And I don't ever, I'm going to strive to have stuff done according to the Lord, but I will tell you this, we're all going to fail along the way. We learn and we move on. And we'll get to that in a moment. But here he says, but I follow after. But I follow after. And here it is, and he says, look, you know, when you start talking about perfection, you start talking about attaining, you start getting to that point, he says, look, it starts off with this. First and foremost, you got to follow. You got to follow. When you're following somebody, that means that you are right behind them or you are right next to them and you are moving in the same direction they're doing. You're in step. You're heading to the same place. Amen? You're heading to the same place. And he says, look, in order to get to that point, he says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to follow. I haven't attained that yet. I have not reached that point. But I know how to get there, and I know who's leading the way. And that's Jesus. So I'm going to follow him. And this is what he talks about in this passage. He says, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am, also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Now, I want us to get this thought process down, because when he starts talking about apprehend here, and this is where it appears twice in this same verse, he says, look, first and foremost, Jesus Christ has already apprehended you. Amen? You're apprehended. That means he has you. He's got you in custody. Protective custody. Amen? Amen. I've known some U.S. Marshals in the past, and you know, when they start doing that witness protection stuff, you got people that are in protective custody. Why? Not for, you know, not because they're going to danger to society, but society is a danger to them. Amen? And he has us in protective custody. He has us. He has got us, you know, in a specific place. We are in him, and he is in us, and we understand all the stuff he's talking about in Ephesians and in Romans, and how he's never going to leave us nor forsake us. He's got us. Amen. No one's going to be able to pluck us out of his hand. Who's going to do that? There is no other God like there that is out there that is going to do that. There is nobody else that has that type of power, that type of strength, that has that type of ability to do that. So, well, he can't even get us. The Lord's got us in his hand. The devil wants us. But look, if we're still following after Jesus Christ, then we have no excuse. And he says, look, I want to enter into the point of where God has got me apprehended, and I want to apprehend that. I want to fully possess that thought. I want to fully possess that thought so that when I start talking about how I think and how I behave, that I go back to the fact the Lord's got me.
Amen.
The Lord's got me. So if the Lord's got me, why am I doing this? Why am I doing that? Why am I doing... I mean, you know, we begin to start thinking about this, and we begin to start realizing, hey, I'm going to have a different thought process. I got to think about some things differently. Because Philippians does have a whole passage in chapter 4 talking about what you should be thinking about. Turn over there just for a moment. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Great verse to memorize. And I will tell you this. Run your thoughts through this filter, and I guarantee you, in the end, you will only have a little bit. And whatever little bit is there will hopefully be glorifying unto the Lord if it's gone through the right filter. And it's like a sieve process. You know, if you got a bunch of stuff that you're going to take and it's got larger chunks, you have a bigger sieve that goes through the large chunks or gets those out first. The medium-sized chunks, and then you're getting down to the small stuff, and then you get down to the sand-type things, and you're getting it finer and finer and finer and finer and finer till you get what you really, truly want. Okay? And what does he say in verse 8? He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, don't listen to lies. Amen? Whatsoever things are honest, don't listen to lies. Amen? Whatsoever things are just, meaning, is it something that is... according to God's justice? Is it something that, you know, you can sit there and say, hey, this is the right thing? It says, whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are pure. If it's a dirty thought, don't have it. Okay? And whatsoever things are lovely. If love is not involved in it, probably not a good thought. Okay? Whatsoever things are of a good report. Meaning, if you were to stand and give an account of it, how would you explain it? Yeah, that last one always gets us, doesn't it? Without justifying. You know how we simply do that? This is what the Lord said. I will do what the Lord said. I did what the Lord told me to do. And here it is from Scripture. And not just with some weird random verse that you pulled out of wherever, okay? I'm talking about can be biblically aligned, amen? Doctrinally aligned. And he says, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Is it virtuous and is it praiseworthy? And if it's not virtuous according to the Lord, and it's not praiseworthy according to the Lord, You can't praise God for it. You ought not think about it. Well, man, that changes our thought process drastically. And this is where he's saying, look, he's like, I want to apprehend that. I want to apprehend that in such a way that I begin to use my mind the way God intended me to, which is for his glory, honor, and praise. That means I got to think differently. I've got to change some thoughts. And you know, he kind of goes along this whole line of, dare I say, you know, sowing and reaping that we find over in the book of Galatians, because this is kind of that principle. If you're apprehended of Christ, you should have an apprehended thought process. You should have an apprehended thought process. Turn over to 2 Corinthians. I was referencing that. 2 Corinthians, let's go back over there. Chapter 10 this time. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Second Corinthians chapter 10 and in verse 3, he says, "For though we walk in the flesh," what does that mean? Our flesh is not redeemed, amen? "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." It means you don't fight the same way. You don't fight the same way. I don't approach sin the same way that I would go into battle. I don't approach sin by throwing on some level 3A body armor. I don't, you're like, what is that? Oh, don't worry about it. I don't approach it, you know, with the whole mindset of making sure that my gear is all the way it's supposed to be with all the ammunition and things of that nature and whatever else it is I need to go into battle. I'm not talking about the physical stuff. But there is a battle that is going on because he says here, we do not war after the flesh, knowing that we do war. And it is against the devil. And it is against principalities and powers. And it's against all those things. And God has given us everything we need to enter into that battle called the Word of God. And in verse 4 it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." And it says, "Casting down imaginations." Casting down imaginations. You know how this morning I asked you to think about aircraft? What did you think about? You thought about an aircraft. Something comes up, you put an image in your mind. Sometimes those images ought not be there. Amen? What do? Cast it down. Don't let it get there. Don't let it get in your heart. Don't let it sit on the throne of your heart. Don't let it enter into a place of how you judge things. Don't let it there. You want to make sure it doesn't come in and be seditious and overthrow. So what do? "Casting down casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God." The more you know about God, the more you are able to do that. The more you're able to do that. Saying, hey, no, you're encroaching on God's territory. No, you need to get back. Hey, no, that's the Lord's. That's his to handle. That's not even mine. Get away from it. You need to have those conversations with yourself. Amen? And he says, "And bringing into captivity," there it is, "every thought to the obedience of Christ." If I'm going to follow after Jesus Christ, then I'm going to obey. If he tells me we're going left, guess what? I'm going left. If he tells me I'm going right, guess what? I'm going right. I'm not going to sit there and say, you know what? I think there's a better path. It's more straight that direction. And the Lord says, we're not going that way. You do realize that when the nation of Israel was coming out of Egypt, the Lord had them take a detour?
Yeah.
He had them take a detour, and I'm not talking about the 40 years. I'm talking about, he said, I don't want you going through the land of the Philistines because you're not ready for that yet. You're not ready to deal with those people. And those people have got some major issues, and you don't need to get in combat with those people. So guess what? We're going to take the long way. But Lord, it's a lot quicker if we go that direction. And he's like, no. No. Aren't you glad the Lord knows better than you? When he knows better than you, guess what? He's going to tell you, you don't go that direction. Don't go that direction. I've got a direction for you, and it's around the temptation. It's around the issue. It's around what is going to derail you. It's around whatever it is that's going to take you out. Specifically, he said they would get weary of war dealing with those people. I mean, look, the Philistines have always been a problem. They have been a problem for every kingdom that has ever had to engage them because they are not nice people. Even the Egyptians like pushed them over there and said, you stay over here because we don't want to deal with you. You go hang out over there. We don't even want to deal with anything that you're doing. And if you will kind of put them in subjection, but they were left to themselves because they didn't even want to deal with them. But you know what? When the Lord brings this verse to mind and we think about that we need to bring in our mind into captivity, into the obedience of Christ, it means we're going to go the direction he wants us to go. We're going to follow the way he wants us to follow. You know, our mind has to be fully possessed of God. And he owns all of us, amen? I mean, he bought us with a price. I mean, we know those verses very clearly. We are his, but we need to understand that the path that is set before us, the purpose that has been determined for us to do, the objective that we have is something that is in plain sight. Go back over there to Philippians chapter 3 and take a look at that. He makes it very clear. He says, look, I'm going to press towards the mark. I'm going to follow. The Lord has a direction. The Lord has a purpose. The Lord has, he knows where we're going with this. And as he talks about following, we find in the next part here, or in verse 13, he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. He reinforces and he says, look, I'm not even there yet, guys, but we've got to strive to get there. We've got to strive to get there. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. And he says, here's how we're going to get there, folks. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Well, what's before? What's the goal? What's the mark? Verse 14, I press toward the mark, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And there's multiple places that we can go. I mean, we can go to several different places. We can go over to 1 Corinthians, where he says, you're called to be saints. We can go over there to 1 Thessalonians. Excuse me, 2 Thessalonians, where again he has a calling for us. We'll see those verses in just a moment, but there's a specific calling, and he says, look, here's what I want you to do. I want you to press towards that. This is what you need to be. Look, when you're going through school and you're wanting to be whatever. Let's say you're wanting to be a plumber. Let's say you're wanting to be an electrician, a mechanic, a lawyer, a doctor, or whatever it is. In order to have that title, what do you have to do? You have to press forward towards that mark. You have to press through. You have to endure some study. You have to endure some long nights. You have to endure, really investing yourself into those things so that you can call yourself a doctor, so that you can call yourself whatever it is, so that you can hang your shingle out there and say, hey, look, I am capable of doing this because I've learned how to do these things and this is what I'm striving towards. Look, if we're going to call ourselves Christians and the Lord says we're called to be saints, don't you think we should strive to do that? That's what we press towards. And he says reaching forth. You know, when you reach forth for something, you are putting in some effort to do it. You're stretching out your hand to grab whatever it is you're going to grab, to apprehend it. And we got to get that understanding in our minds where we apprehend it and we say, hey, look, I'm going to apprehend that thought process so that I'm following after Christ, so I'm pressing towards that mark of being what he wants me to be. Not being what I want to be. We've already tried that without Jesus, amen? How well did that work out for us? Well, it sent us right to a devil's hell is where we were heading, right? But what we need to begin to realize is we need to make sure that we're apprehending this. And he says, look, I haven't gotten there yet, but here's what I'm going to do, and here's how I'm going to do it. And this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to forget what's behind. I'm going to forget what's behind. You know, we have a tendency to be forgetful people, amen? I mean, you know, whether it's situations where we just, it slips our mind or whatever it is, something of that nature, you come to the store and you realize you forgot the list at home. And you're like, what am I going to do? And you just stand there like thinking about what is it I need? And you like remember one thing and you're like, yeah, yay, okay. And then you get home and you find there were 17 other things. What did you do? You forgot. You know what the Lord is telling you here to do? I want you to purposely forget some stuff. Don't bring it to mind. Stop thinking about it. I'll give you an example. When's the last time any of you thought about your first grade classroom? Right now, some of you are struggling to do that. Some of you are sitting there going, in the gears, and you're getting some of those file not found, or you're getting some sort of error coming back, or all of a sudden you get some guy coming out of this, you know, dusty old cellar going, hold on a second, I think I've got this down here. You hear some banging, clanging, and some dust coming up, and then here it is, and you're like, oh, okay, I finally remember it. Whether it was homeschool or not, amen? But we get that concept in there. There's some things that we have forgotten because we just haven't thought about it. But I'll tell you this, you know, when we're faced with things, realizing we're still striving, I'll tell you this, the more you're focused on pressing towards what God has called you to be, the less you're going to think about the stuff that you were. The less you're going to think about stuff that you were. And if anybody had any reason to think about something that he was before salvation, it would be Paul. It would be Paul. I mean, how do you live with that? He had to forget some stuff. And he says, you know what? I'm going to press towards what God has called me to do. Turn over to 2 Thessalonians. Turn over to 2 Thessalonians. In 2 Thessalonians, we're going to take a look at chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11, he says, wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling. Well, what is that calling? And fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. I mean, he shows it right there. Fulfill all the good pleasure. Well, whose pleasure is it? It's the Lord's. What's your calling? Please God. Please God. Please God with your thoughts. Please God with your action. Please God with your words. Please God. Please God. And what do you have to do in order to do that? You actually have to say, hey, I'm going to show and demonstrate faith. I'm going to work that out. I'm going to show the power that is in God by believing his word and doing what he tells me to do. You know what we find right there? We find very clearly the Lord saying, hey, look, here's a calling. Here's a calling in how I want you to go about doing that. Go over to 2 Timothy, just a couple pages over. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. He's talking to Timothy here. He's trying to give him some encouragement. And here's what he says. He says, who hath saved us and called us according to a holy calling, not according to our own works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which is given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. You know what he's saying? He says, first and foremost, let's understand this. Your calling is not you doing what you want to do. Your calling is his purpose. What he's purposed for you to do, what he wants you to do, what he's directed you to do, that's his will that he's saying, this is my will for your life. And when we begin to realize, hey, I'm apprehended of Christ, so I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, which shows up in Philippians again, by the way, then guess what? I can actually say, hey, I'm going to fulfill my purpose that God has given in my life to please Him and to do His will. And this is where Paul's saying, look, when we apprehend that thought process, things are different. I can forget the things that are behind. Why? Because I'm busy pressing towards what God wants me to be, what God has directed me to be, what God has called me to be. Go back over there to Philippians chapter 3. Back over there in Philippians chapter 3. We find that the Lord uses Paul here to teach us and show us the how. The how. And in verse 15, he says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. He says, this is the way you need to think. Look, we're already perfect in Jesus Christ. He's forgiven us of our sins. We are still striving here, down here to do this. And he says, this is what you need to do. You need to get to a point in your life where your thought process is saying, hey, I'm going to apprehend this concept of reaching forth unto what God has called me. You know what that really means to apprehend it? You grasp it. You grasp it with a full understanding. You grasp it with this idea of, hey, I know it's going to be a learning process. Hey, I know I'm going to mess up. Hey, I know I'm going to do these things. Thank God for the forgiveness of sins. Amen. I know that I'm not always going to do it the right way, the way that the Lord wants it. And I thank Him for His forgiveness and His long-suffering and His goodness and His mercy and His grace towards me. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm still going to press towards that. And when I do make that mistake, I'm going to say, I'm not going to do that again, but I'm going to press towards what God wants me to do. I'm going to follow it the way God wants me to follow it. I'm going to purpose to say, if God's going to call me a saint, which He has in multiple passages of Scripture, like, well, I don't consider myself a saint. God considers you a saint, and He's called you to be a saint, so act like a saint. You're like, well, I don't know about that. That's kind of a tall order. If God says you can do it, you can do it. Amen? What do you have to do? Forget the other stuff and start moving towards Christ. Apprehend this concept. Apprehend this in your life that you can say without a shadow of a doubt, hey, I know, I am convinced, I am persuaded, as Paul says, I know who I have believed, and I'm persuaded He can do these things. I'm persuaded that if I go through that thought process filter, I can do this. I am persuaded that the Lord is going to guide me and direct me in those things. I am persuaded this is going to happen. You know what we begin to do? We begin to fully possess that thought. We begin to take that mindset, and as he says here, let us be be thus minded. Be thus minded. Stop thinking about the wrong things and start thinking about the right things. I'll challenge you to do this. You wake up tomorrow morning, or maybe you even wake up from your afternoon nap today, because we all know that's what saints do, amen? Sunday afternoon is nap time. Whatever it is, how about we sit down and we say, Lord, I want to press towards that mark. What direction do you want me to go? And I will be willing to follow that. We begin to set ourselves in a position that the Lord wants us to be in, which is to apprehend how good the Lord is, what He has done for us, that He would apprehend me, a sinner such as I, so that I could be called a saint. I want to please Him. I want to please Him in every area. And it starts with the thoughts that are in my heart. We strive to do that. Look, nobody here is perfect. Amen. Paul says, I'm not perfect. I haven't gotten there yet. He says, but this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to continue to move forward. I'm going to continue to press towards that mark so that I can get there. That's what we do. That's what we do. Have we apprehended that concept this morning? I pray that we have. Let's stand for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you again for the time. I thank you again, Lord, for all that you've taught us. And Lord, I pray that we as believers here this afternoon now, Lord, that we would apprehend that concept. That, Lord, we would realize you have us. You've given us everything that is necessary for godliness. All we have to do is follow you and forget the things that are behind. Lord, may we endeavor to do that. May we endeavor to apprehend that concept. May we endeavor to be thus minded. Lord, may we have the thought processes of our heart fixed upon you and what you have called us to do, which is your purpose, your goodness, demonstrating what it is we believe and showing others by what we do. I thank you again, Lord, for all that you teach us. Pray, Lord, that these things would be in our minds as we close throughout our days until you return to take us home. And this I ask in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.